Divine Office. Office of Readings. God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
The God of gods, the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion's perfect beauty he shines.
Our God comes. He keeps silence no longer. Before him fire devours, around him tempest rages. He calls on the heavens and the earth to witness his judgment of his people.
Summon before me my people, who made covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
The Lord summons heaven and earth to witness his judgment on his people.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
Listen, my people, I will speak. Israel, I will testify against you, for I am God, your God. I accuse you, lay the charge before you.
I find no fault with your sacrifices. Your offerings are always before me. I do not ask more bullocks from your farms, nor goats from among your herds.
For I own all the beasts of the forest, beasts in their thousands on my hills. I know all the birds in the sky. All that moves in the field belongs to me.
Were I hungry, I would not tell you, for I own the world and all it holds. Do you think I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats?
Pay your sacrifice of thanksgiving to God and render him your votive offerings. Call on me in the day of distress. I will free you, and you shall honor me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Come to me in your distress, and I will save you.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
A sacrifice of praise will give me glory.
But God says to the wicked, "But how can you recite my commandments and take my covenant on your lips, you who despise my law and throw my words to the winds?
You who see a thief and go with him, who throw in your lot with adulterers, who unbridle your mouth for evil, and whose tongue is plotting crime.
You who sit and malign your brother and slander your own mother's son, you do this, and should I keep silence? Do you think that I am like you?
Mark this, you who never think of God, lest I seize you and you cannot escape. A sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me, and I will show God's salvation to the upright." Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Father, because Jesus, your servant, became obedient even unto death, his sacrifice was greater than all holocausts of old. Accept the sacrifice of praise we offer you through him, and may we show the effects of it in our lives by striving to do your will until our whole life becomes adoration in spirit and truth.
A sacrifice of praise will give you glory. The Lord led this holy man along a sure path.
He showed him the kingdom of God.
From the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. As your fellow workers, we beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time, I have heard you. On a day of salvation, I have helped you." Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We avoid giving anyone offense so that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, in all that we do, we strive to present ourselves as ministers of God, acting with patient endurance amid trials, difficulties, distresses, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. As men familiar with hard work, sleepless nights, and fastings, conducting ourselves with innocence, knowledge, and patience in the Holy Spirit, in sincere love as men with a message of truth and the power of God, wielding the weapons of righteousness with right hand and left, whether honored or dishonored, spoken of well or ill. We are called impostors, yet we are truthful. Nobodies, who in fact are well known, dead, yet here we are alive, punished but not put to death. Sorrowful, though we are always rejoicing. Poor, yet we enrich many. We seem to have nothing, yet everything is ours. Men of Corinth, we have spoken to you frankly, opening our hearts wide to you. There is no lack of room for you in us. The narrowness is in you. In fair exchange, then, I speak as a father to his children. Open wide your hearts. Do not yoke yourselves in a mismatch with unbelievers. After all, what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What accord is there between Christ and Belial? What common lot between believer and unbeliever? Tell me, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? You are the temple of the living God, just as God has said, I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. I will welcome you and be a father to you, and you will always be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us purify ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, and in the fear of God, strive to fulfill our consecration perfectly. The word of the Lord.
What do righteousness and iniquity have in common? Is there a common ground between the temple of God and idols?
You are the temple of the living God.
Are you not aware that you are God's temple and that His Spirit lives within you?
You are the temple of the living God.
From a homily on the Acts of the Apostles by St. John Chrysostom, Bishop. There is nothing colder than a Christian who does not seek to serve others. You cannot plead poverty here. The widow putting in her two small coins will be your accuser. Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not." Paul was so poor that he was often hungry and went without necessary food. You cannot plead a humble birth, for they were humbly born of humble stock. You cannot offer the excuse of lack of education, for they were uneducated. You cannot plead ill health, for Timothy also had poor health with frequent illnesses. Each one can help his neighbor if only he is willing to do what is in his power. Look at the trees that do not bear fruit. Have you not noticed how strong and fine they are, upstanding, smooth, and tall? If we had a garden, we would much prefer trees with fruit, pomegranates and olives, to trees that are for pleasure, not for utility, and any utility these have is small. Such are those men who think only of their own concerns. In fact, they are even worse. The trees are at least useful for building or for protection, whereas the selfish are only fit for punishment. Such were those foolish virgins who were chaste, comely, and self-controlled, but did nothing for anyone. So they are consumed in the fire. Such are those men who refuse to give Christ food. Notice that none of them is accused of personal sins. They are not accused of committing fornication or perjury or any such sin at all, only of not helping anybody else. The man who buried the talent was like this. His life was blameless, but he was of no service to others. How can such a person be a Christian? Tell me, if yeast did not make the whole mass like itself, is it really yeast? Again, if perfume failed to pervade all around it with its fragrance, would you call it perfume? Do not say, it is impossible for me to influence others. If you are a Christian, it is impossible for this not to happen. Things found in nature cannot be denied. So here, for it is a question of the nature of the Christian. Do not insult God. If you say that the sun cannot shine, you have insulted him. If you say that a Christian cannot help others, you have insulted God and called him a liar. It is easier for the sun not to give warmth or to shine than for the Christian not to shed his light. It is easier for light to be darkness than it is for this to happen. Do not say, then, that it is impossible. The opposite is impossible. Do not insult God. If we have put our affairs in order, these things will certainly come to be and will follow as a natural consequence. The light of a Christian cannot escape notice. So bright a lamp cannot be hidden.
After Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, they gave a dinner for him at Bethany.
And Martha served at table.
Mary took a pound of costly perfume and anointed the feet of Jesus.
And Martha served at table.
Let us pray. Ever-living God, the signs of your love are manifest in the honor you give your saints. May their prayers and their example encourage us to follow your Son more faithfully. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.